welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for the benefit of the Five Eyes Network. For those of you who are unaware of the Five Eyes Network, it's illegal to surveil your own citizens, but it ain't illegal to surveil everyone else's and share information with your enemies. Okay, it's a beautiful loophole, ladies and gentlemen. So for the intelligence agents who are monitoring the live stream, welcome. You're doing a good job. Now, my very special guest joining me today is Dr. Anthony Miller. Now, today we're going to be talking about electromagnetic wireless radiation. If you're not currently bathing in it, ladies and gentlemen, you're probably not listening to the show at the same time. So anyway, Dr. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Could you please tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
Well, my title is Professor Emeritus, Dalai Lama School of Public Health. That's the School of Public Health at the University of Toronto. It's a relatively recent name. We became a school about 3 years ago. I joined the University of Toronto in the early 1970s, at the same time as I came to the National Cancer Institute of Canada and set up a program on cancer epidemiology. And during the course of that program, I did studies on ionizing radiation and cancer, and more recently on non-ionizing radiation, particularly the effects of electrical and magnetic fields in people working in Ontario Hydro, which generated and transmitted electricity in Ontario, the largest province in Canada. And we also did a study of the effects of electric and magnetic fields on childhood leukemia in Toronto. And in both, we found associations, electrical and magnetic fields in occupational work. People working in occupation increased the risk of lung cancer and also suggestion of brain cancer. And then more recently, I've got interested in the effects of what we call radio frequency radiation, which is the radiation, non-ionizing radiation, used to power cell phones, mobile phones, and which is becoming known because of the proposals by a number of companies in North America and elsewhere around the world to introduce what is now called 5G, the fifth generation of this type of exposure to radiation. And we're very concerned about that because 5G will involve exposure to multiple antennae. It will penetrate homes. We already know that 5G has been utilized by the American military to evaluate the effects on crowd control. It's rather superficial, it can affect the skin, and we're concerned it will affect eyes and that it will increase the risk of other cancers. Now, the other types of radio frequency radiation, 2G, 3G, 4G, are in fact included in 5G, but these are the types of radiation which were used earlier for cell phones, mobile phones, and cordless phones. And we now have very good evidence that this type of radiation increases cancer in laboratory animals. We have a very large U.S. study run by the National Toxicology Program in the United States, which increased the risk of cancer in animals, particularly a type of cancer called schwannoma, which is of considerable interest because in humans, schwannomas occur around the vestibular nerve, the hearing nerve, and of course people held their cell phones to their ear, and people have had increased risk of these cancers, and also of brain tumors, the most malignant type of brain tumor, which is being found to be more common now in children and young adults in the United States and some other countries, and in the United Kingdom recently, it's been shown to be increasing. And this is extremely worrying, because although these types of cancers are not that common, if you increase the risk of an uncommon cancer so that it becomes common, a lot of people could be affected by it in the future.
And we're speaking, of course, about everybody essentially being affected by it if the plans of the rollout of 5G are to be taken seriously, yes?
That is in fact so. And we are very concerned about that. We feel it is in fact somewhat unnecessary to do this, because although people want high frequency internet, high internet speed for their computers, this can be much better achieved using fiber optic cables, which it so happens that in Canada, Bell Canada uses, and in fact, fortunately for me, my home is supplied by fiber optic cables. So I'm very hopeful we will not get exposed to 5G. And this could be easily extended using telephone wires and then fiber optic cables to everybody without the exposing people to 5G. Part of the problem with 5G is that it would link to a number of household appliances. People's privacy would be lost. You could get spying on individuals and such like. And we need to try and preserve our privacy.
Essentially, privacy is freedom. And once people have lost privacy in the aggregate, they will lose all of their freedoms, period. Their freedom of speech, their freedom of thought, their freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, everything will disappear as soon as you annihilate privacy, essentially. The two are inextricably linked. And right. So if I was a totalitarian sociopath with delusions of grandeur, would I like 5G as in terms of, you know, oh, this is really going to help me?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And this is why we're concerned over a number of things. And I mean, the recent issue over Hawaii, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that name correctly, but the firm in China and the way Chinese firms are capitalizing on their contacts to essentially build on what they've stolen from other people.
Well, the other element here is that people are going, oh, but you can trust the government. And first of all, that's just retarded for a first thing. Governments cannot be trusted. There's no historical evidence to say that any government could ever be like fully trusted with anything, let alone power over people. But however, what we're talking about now is that there's going to be specific back doors built into the system so that the government can access them. Now, let's say theoretically, if a government was trustworthy, is the criminal element trustworthy? Because if a government builds in back doors, that means those back doors exist, and that means hackers and other criminal elements could actually use them for their own personal benefit, even foreign governments.
I absolutely agree. And unfortunately, the governments so far have a very poor record of understanding the potential hazards. A number of us have reviewed the epidemiology studies, which have come from a number of countries. There's a whole series of studies that had been done in Sweden, one of the first countries to use cell phones. They find increased risk of brain cancer, those who use cell phones for 5 or more years, particularly if they start doing so early in life. And then we have this National Toxicology Program study in animals, and also a confirmatory study which has been done by the world famous Ramazzini Institute in Italy, which has also found increased risk of cancer in animals from exposure to radio frequency radiation. And a number of us have concluded, as a result of this human and animal evidence, And also the evidence we've got from what we call mechanistic studies of how this sorts of radiation perturbs cells. It can cause DNA damage, which of course is a precursor to cancer. We know that other types of similar radiation, radar, for example, can increase other sorts of cancer. This has been well documented in Israel. So that we have a reason to believe that we're dealing with not just an animal carcinogen, but a human carcinogen, a class one human carcinogen, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer. We've been asking them to reevaluate this. At the moment, my own government here in Canada is dragging their feet. The US is dragging their feet, and other governments are dragging their feet. But people are increasingly concerned about this.
Who benefits? If we're talking about this this whole system essentially being implemented globally, and almost all the governments that we're listing in the Five Eyes network, which have a secret surveillance agreement with each other, are all sharing their information, and all of these governments seem to be approaching 5G in exactly the same way. We're doing it! We're doing it! We're doing it! Don't care what your concerns are! We're doing it!
Absolutely right. I mean, they obviously think they're going to profit by it, and they're ignoring human health. We're almost in a situation with radio frequency radiation. We were with tobacco smoking or asbestos exposure 40 years ago. And we know the hazards now of tobacco smoking. We know the hazards of asbestos exposure. We're dealing with a similar type of human carcinogen. And we really must do something to reduce exposure, particularly to children, because exposure in children, it may not cause increased cancer in them, although there is some evidence it is already beginning to do so. But if you start exposure in early life, from all that we know about human carcinogens, we know the risk is going to get greater and greater as you go through life.
Yeah, I was just thinking about my nephews and nieces and things of that nature, and my brother and my sisters, they've just chucked iPads into their hands. They've just chucked cell phones at them. And when we were at Christmas, they're just on them all the time, being bathed in those rads. And I was just received a message this morning from the co-leader of the Legalized Cannabis Party, Marky Herbert, talking about the importance of putting those devices on flight mode before you hand them to a child. Essentially, right, to prevent that those kind of signals and all of those kind of things from working. Would you say that that's a fair deal, or should they just be kept away from these devices full stop until a certain age?
Because I think children soon learn how to manipulate things and change, I would think it's far better to keep them away from children full stop, as you should also do in schools. I mean, unfortunately, Wi-Fi is being used in schools. And what we need to replace this by is wired connections to computers.
Well, that's actually quite a revelation right there, that there's no real safe limit for children for these kind of devices and wireless radiation, full stop, is there?
There is no safe limit, no.
If you've got them, it's bad parenting. Okay, I've just figured it out. I mean, it just, if we talk about how people are raising their kids, and nobody wants to be told how to raise their kids, they think, oh, I should be able to do it any way I want or whatever. Okay, give your kids cancer, nosebleeds. You know what those nosebleeds are, ladies and gentlemen? It's when your brain is starting to decompose inside your head because of radiation, and your brains are starting to dribble out your nose. You want your children to be doing that, do you? You want that in your children's classroom, do you? It's just, it's insanity. And I think that insanity is an infectious disease, and it's passed down, not up. The insanity of the people doesn't go up. The insanity of the people in charge comes down, you know?
Right. And there is another aspect to radio frequency radiation. We've been talking about cancer, but in fact, there are a number of people who become sick when they're exposed to radio frequency radiation. They develop what we call electric hypersensitivity. It used to be called microwave sickness. And they are they get headaches, they get dizzy, they are unable to live in air places where there is quite a bit of radio frequency radiation. And people are finding it increasingly difficult to find places where they can live safely. So there is the two aspects of this. There's the cancer risk, which concerns me very much, being a cancer epidemiologist. But there's also the risk of electric hypersensitivity, microwave sickness, and we need to protect people from this.
I just want to also say hello to everybody in the chat room. Thank you very much for joining us on this live stream. Apologise about the late start. Technical difficulties do happen, particularly if you're exposing the technical evil agenda that's happening to roll out under 5G. The other question I have as well is, it's not just a health thing. There's so many elements to this. So there's a political element, there's a monetary element, there's a health element, there's a psychological element to it as well. The Dunning-Kruger effect, for example, was discovered in, I think it was 2009, or it might have been 1999, where they quizzed a whole bunch of people about things that they thought that they knew, and they found out that the more you think you know about a subject, it turns out that you don't actually know as much as you think you do. Okay, so I will be talking to, let's say, my sister's husband, who works in the telco sector and things like that, and I'll tell him that electromagnetic wireless frequency radiation has dangers and so on and so forth, and he'll just go, no, I've been around them for ages, I don't know how to get affected for a while whatsoever. And it's just like, you know so much that you don't know how much you don't know. And it's a double-edged sword as well, because if you know that you know very little, you'll think you know more than you do. So we've got this whole psychological condition that is affecting the public and those people who are pushing this 5G technology. Now, just wanted to know what it was that actually got you into this, looking into 5G and actually taking the stance on it that you have.
Well, Canada has a regulation in relation to the amount of exposure people can have to radio frequency radiation. And the Royal Society of Canada was asked to review this, and they produced a report, and then I was invited to review that report. And when I reviewed the report, I decided that the report did not go far enough when I looked at the various studies they were citing, what was in the medical literature. And therefore, I started talking to people who were concerned about this. And I got myself involved with a Canadian organization, C4ST, Canadians for Safe Technology. I was already a scientific advisor to the Environmental Health Trust in the United States, which was also concerned about this. And then we started reviewing the literature. There was a conference that was held in Jerusalem in January last year. And as a result of that conference, a number of us wrote papers which were published in Environmental Research. And I concluded with my colleagues on the paper in which I was first author that we are dealing with a human carcinogen, a type 1 human carcinogen, and that we could not ignore this any further. So I've become much more active in trying to warn people of the dangers of radio frequency radiation.
What's the response been like? I mean, whenever you try to tell somebody an uncomfortable truth, they will often gravitate more towards the convenient lie.
Well, that's unfortunately what tends to have happened with a number of people. People are so used to using this technology, they can't believe that it would do them any harm. But then when you start talking to them in more detail, they begin to worry and they begin to rethink. And this is what's been happening with a number of people we've been in contact with.
Well, therefore, it means that the information needs to be put into people's hands, and they need to actually take the time to sit there and really listen to it. Now, I'm not sure what happened in the break. Did you turn a light off or something? Because it was looking very dark where you are. So if you want to...
It's getting dark here, so perhaps...
Yeah, go flick a light on, mate. She'll be right. Yeah, because I was just thinking about this as well.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yeah. The potential for this information getting out is dramatically held back, specifically because the mainstream media and the governments are... I'm not sure what the reason is. Do they have a vested interest? Do they have an agenda? Who knows what it is? But they don't seem as interested, as concerned citizens, as getting this information out to the public. Moreover, they don't seem as concerned with trying to make sure that the overwhelming evidence is presented to the public. If you give an activist 30 seconds, he can only give you 30 seconds. But if you give an activist 2 hours to really share their knowledge, it really sinks in. And I don't see that happening as often as perhaps it should.
As I agree. There is, in fact, we often find that some of the people or some of the organizations that should be taking the decisions to protect human health are, in fact, being over-influenced by industry. And this seems to be so for many governments. The United States, for example, there is a regulation from one of the organizations that should be protecting the public that you cannot discuss the health effects of these fields when you're considering their introduction. And this is the telecommunication industry, the various companies that want to introduce 5G are profiting from this.
How much profits are we talking here?
Oh, well, I think we're potentially talking millions. I don't know. I'm not a businessman, so I can't tell you.
Well, let's just assume it's a ridiculous amount of profit, enough to ignore the wider impacts of human health to the entire planet. All right, so it's that much money. Like, you just toss it up and you go, how much do I need in order to sell out the entire human race and basically kill them all from cancer? That much? Yeah, that'll be enough. It's like this short-term thinking. No, just me. Who cares about the next generation? Who cares about anybody else but myself? That kind of mentality.
Yeah, that seems to be unfortunately so for a number of organizations. I mean, there's a long history, unfortunately, even in the World Health Organization, of influence from industry. And some of the organizations which we believe should be protecting health are not doing that. So it's up to those of us who understand to do what's necessary to inform people of the potential hazards. And that's why I'm so grateful that you're talking to me now.
Well, as you say, it's necessary. All right, a good man will do what is necessary, even if it is not the easiest option for him. And I think that to a large degree, masculinity in general has become, I don't know, like a dirty word. We're the ones who frickin' built this world. We're the ones who do the roads. We're the ones who put up all the 5G networks. We're the ones in the tech industry that are pushing all this stuff or whatever. And unfortunately, though, that potential to get up and do something and be strong and be a man sort of thing has become almost a punishable offence on social media.
In order to cut down my own exposure, I don't use a cell phone. I'm not on social media. I mean, you could say I'm ignoring the world, but I'm not. I'm doing my best in various ways to inform people and warn them that they need to take care, reduce their exposure as far as possible. Distance is your friend. Keep your cell phone away from you. Text. Use the speaker mode and so on. There's all sorts of things one can do to reduce your exposure.
Yeah, it's kind of like bad health is not necessarily caused by what you do. it's caused by what you allow to happen to you unconsciously. So let's say, for instance, you're being bathed with electromyogenic radiation and you have no idea. You're completely unconscious of it. And then somebody who's very, very conscious of it avoids it. Avoid getting exposed to dangerous things, and that, in the aggregate, you know, prevents health from going bad. And I think maybe psychological health. This is another thing that 5G and these frequencies are affecting, isn't it? People are losing their memories. People are reacting to things like, "Oh, I'm suddenly really angry." You know, that kind of thing is actually happening to people on a real level. And if we're talking about the global implementation of 5G, a world population of people who can't think, can't concentrate, and get angry for no frickin' reason. Who benefits from that? Governments.
I'm not even sure governments will. I think they don't realize that this, in fact, will be something that will be very much against the better interests of the country, and therefore the country will suffer. So we need to make sure that people understand and take the right action.
Mm. Well, right action is, again, something Mark Passio was talking about. I'm not sure if any of the audience are actually familiar with his work, but he's a former priest of the Church of Satan. And he comes out of this organization and he says, there are absolutely people in this world who have bad intentions, dark occultists who use secret knowledge as a power differential over others. And I think that this is actually being employed in the aggregate. So, for instance, somebody in the 5G industry who's pushing it and profiting from it actually benefits from having that knowledge and preventing the public from having it themselves. Because then if you don't have that knowledge, you cannot defend yourself. You cannot protect your family and that kind of thing. So it behooves all of us to take that right action, to do whatever it is within our capacity. I mean, you're a doctor, you're a researcher, you know, you've got the ability to get this information for yourself and then explain it to others, all right? It's what's called the trivium. First of all, you get your facts. Second of all, you understand what all those facts actually mean. Third of all, rhetoric. You have to teach those facts to others so that they can understand them. That is the purpose of all life, essentially.
Right. Well, that's essentially, well, thank you. Yeah, that's essentially what I've been trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask, have you got very specific details about this that you can actually share with the audience? How does it actually affect someone? So you've got person A and person B. You've got 5G on one of them, and you don't have 5G on the other. What's the difference?
The difference you'll find is the people who've got 5G will be more likely to be upset, to be psychologically disturbed, and in the future, because cancer doesn't occur instantaneously, it takes a long time, they would be more likely to develop cancer. And we want to reduce our risk of cancer. This is why we've been telling people for years, you should eat a healthy diet, you avoid smoking, you try and avoid exposure to asbestos, you avoid exposure to benzene. This has become generally known. What we've got to tell people is you reduce your exposure as far as possible to radio frequency radiation, distance is your friend, keep away from the sources, try and ensure that in your community you don't have cell towers stuck on top of buildings which would damage the people within those buildings. And there are all sorts of things that can be done and should be done.
I think I was interviewing Johan Johansson. Maybe that's his name. I don't get the J's in the Scandinavian names mess me up sometimes. Sometimes it's Yo and sometimes it's Joe. I don't know. But what he was talking about was developing this kind of green signal. So essentially, it's a wireless signal that can be beamed to other devices that doesn't have the same radioactive effects and that kind of thing, the negative health effects on the body. And he said that this is what he's working on because of the fact that nobody else is working on it. Nobody wants wireless that's healthy. All right. Kind of like how back in the day, nobody wanted cars that had front and back brakes and window wipers and a horn. You know, that kind of thing, because they just weren't overly familiar with all the complications and dangers that were associated with early automobile use. And I think now, much like the automobile in 1911 or whatever, when it really started to become mainstream, 5G now becoming mainstream, but people are unaware of the dangers of those devices and what modifications might need to be made in order to make them safer. Or should these things be banned altogether? Is there any safe way of even using wireless, period?
There, I don't think there is any safe way of using wireless. But if you can reduce the intensity of exposure as much as possible, get as far away from sources of radiation as possible. I mean, we haven't mentioned one of the sources, which is smart meters on the side of homes. And this is, in fact, something that the utilities are introducing. But if you're on, you've got a home like that, you should ensure that the living area is far away from the smart meter as possible. And if you can't, you have to introduce shielding. Shielding is available to protect yourself. Well, I think we mentioned it. I mean, we just got to reduce our exposure. Not allowed to increase.
Well, there's a political action that needs to actually happen on that front, and I believe a lot of places around the world are in fact doing this already. For those of you in New Zealand, we've got a Stop 5G kind of little Facebook group that I've been made the admin on and what have you. I'll just get the links for that in the moment. But the question is now, if we've got the information, that kind of thing, it's a war. And with all war, everything needs to become weaponized. How do we weaponize 5G information so that it penetrates people's psychological defenses? You know, that what I mean by that is everybody will automatically go to denial. As Schopenhauer said, the truth will go through three stages. First, it is ridiculed, then it is violently opposed, and then it is accepted as self-evident. Now, I think what he and Gandhi both described, Gandhi said, first they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. They're both describing what was later discovered to be the grief process, but it's missing two of those phases. Depression and acceptance. All right. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but learning about 5G or any of the associated health difficulties depressed me somewhat. Until such a point as I was capable of accepting that information and being a man about it. Essentially, you must be able to deal with harsh and frightening information. That is where our strength truly comes from. But there are many who fear so much the truth and frightening things that they will ignore them straight away. And you've only got maybe like 8 seconds, maybe seven, in order to get a message across to them. And you can't do that with the 5G information because it's outside of people's awareness to the point where they are lacking several hours of lectures before they even have an inkling of what it is that they're dealing with, let alone be able to adopt a reasoning capacity that says, this is going to kill us all. You know, that kind of thing. You can't just jump to that conclusion, you know, and have no understanding behind it, because it's dangerous. Because you'll have people going out there hurting people who are like putting up 5G towers, and these people who are putting up 5G towers are getting sick as well. They have no idea what they're doing. Isn't that interesting, though? It's the people within the industries who should know what the hell they're doing. They're only taught one side of it and ignore the other completely, and they're paying for it with their lives. Now, for those of you in New Zealand, facebook.com/5G Free New Zealand is the Facebook page that we've got this link on for you. So hopefully you'll be able to go there and give us a like and join the movement to stop 5G here in New Zealand. If you are one of the international listeners, of course, and there isn't a 5G free, whatever the hell your town is, whatever the hell your country is, make one. Okay? The situation is that dire. And your action at this point is required. All of us. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Indeed we do, and thank you.
This frustration element, what did you find difficult about it? Is there anything you still find difficult, or is it more just like you understand it and you're just going through the processes here and doing the right thing?
Well, increasingly there's a web of people who are going through the process of trying to do the right thing, bring the attention of people. I was able to talk to Toronto City Council a year and a half ago, and I met a number of people who felt similarly as I do, and that we sort of got a web of people who communicate with each other, provide information to each other, and disseminate that. And that's important. You mentioned the people who actually work in this industry. It's important that they understand this as well. Admittedly, they are, it's a livelihood, but it's one of the issues here that people don't understand is that the insurance companies are sufficiently worried about this that they will not cover firms. So Lloyd's of London and other insurance companies will not provide coverage for potential hazards from radio frequency devices. And that means that people are on their own. They are not going to get covered if something goes wrong.
Well, they will be covered, just not in, in coverage. You know, like, well, they'll get one kind of coverage, 5G coverage, but insurance coverage? No.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make this stuff up, folks. You know, it's pretty hilarious when you think about the extermination of mankind. Anyway, this is another thing that I came to a conclusion about yesterday, and this was saying before, is that just because somebody's part of a bad machine and they're doing bad things or whatever doesn't mean they actually understand what they're a part of, and it doesn't mean that their heart has been deactivated. And the job of people like us who know the truth and want to give it to people is to focus on people's hearts. It is not their brain that will tell them, this is wrong, I can't do this anymore. It is their heart. Essentially, we have to speak through to these people and find out how to get rid of those psychological defenses, essentially. Repetition, culture, social coercion, essentially. What social coercion is, it's like, let's say your son comes to you and he says, hey, Dad, I cheated on my wife three times this year and I didn't get caught. Aren't I awesome? And your response to that is, you're a disgusting human being. You go back and you beg forgiveness, and you do so now, and you be grateful that she would ever be with somebody like you. That's social enforcement. Now, if we're talking about 5G social enforcement, it's not going to work quite as well, ladies and gentlemen, because we don't have a objective morality around this thing because it's new. You know? What's the objective morality on television in 1945? Didn't really exist. Nobody knew what it was and that kind of thing. So how would you ever have people having a moral backbone to just go immediately, no, this is wrong. So what we often do is we go, oh, you're part of this machine, you're a bad person or something like that. But that's not the truth. There are so many people who do bad things in this world who just don't know what they're doing. And your job, essentially, as a good person, is to try and communicate that to them without making them the bad guy, essentially. You have good, ordinary people who can be informed, who can become very, very powerful once they are. The CIA, NSA, doesn't matter what alphabet agency that you're talking about, people have turned whistleblower from those organizations when they realized what they were a part of and what crimes were being committed. And I believe the entire 5G industry and everybody who works within it has that same potential to do good. Will they? Who knows? It's up to us to inform them, I think. So, getting into the nitty-gritty of it, there's how many different effects from 5G? There's physiological, there's psychological. What about reproductive?
I don't think we know enough about that yet. We it is indeed quite possible that there will be reproductive side effects, but we haven't, hopefully we will never see it, but we don't know yet.
So that's even more worrying than saying, yep, it's definitely gonna screw you up, because I think unsurety is almost more stressful than knowing that there's something wrong, isn't it? How do you explain this to people? Could you cite us an example of one person who was all for 5G, and then after a conversation with you, they changed their mind on it? Has that happened to you in person?
As yet, no, it hasn't. But I do. we were at, my wife and I were at a meeting in Lansing, Michigan, arranged by a state senator. He was very worried about this. And I think a number of people at that meeting began to understand some of the issues, and we were able to get across some of the problems to people. And ripple effects then occur and it disseminates.
Mm. Well, have you got any positive stories on that front?
As yet, no.
Well, she's early days still on this thing, and we haven't had full implementation yet. Okay, so what's the expense of this? I mean, they say that the millimeter waves or something like that, they have to have broadcasters pretty much everywhere, almost the same frequency as lampposts on a street. Am I right?
That's correct, yes. Yes, in order to get it to every house. I mean, it must be very expensive for them to introduce. As I've said earlier, because our home is served by fiber optic, we escape that. You know, people are working on other things. There's a thing called Li-Fi being evaluated, which is essentially using light waves through fiber optic to deliver internet services, television and telephone and whatever. So that I think maybe in a few years' time, the people who've invested money in 5G will realize they put their money in the wrong place and they need to put it into other areas which will be more healthy.
This reminds me of an interview that I had a couple of years ago with, I think it was Gordon Bowden. What he discovered is that the financial centers of London were involved in creating fake oil, gas, and mining companies. And the reason for this is they wanted to steal seed capital from those people in society who still had money left to invest, who weren't part of the club, essentially. And what they would do is they would create these things that had these inbuilt feedback systems. Now, what that means is the company doesn't exist, but because of the potential profits and the potential risks of it, people won't investigate as to whether or not it exists. And in fact, the first knowledge that they'll have that something is wrong is when they say, whoops, all your money is gone, right? And I think about scams, essentially. Scammers are very, very nasty, because the reason why they're so nasty is because their usage of words is such that they can create anything out of anything, repackage it, rebrand it, and resell it. Right, essentially. So if you say, I've got cancer-causing radiation here, everybody. Cancer-causing radiation? No, we don't want cancer-causing radiation. Okay. I've got 5G here, everybody. I've got 5G here. Oh, 5G? That sounds new and interesting. I don't know anything about that. That sounds great. But then one guy will pipe up, but isn't that just cancer-causing radiation? They go, yeah, but it'll take people to a while to figure that one out. So, and at that point, we'll just call it 6G. You know, they could just keep renaming it, repackaging it, rebranding it, and reselling it, and people will keep endlessly getting it. Now, until the human race in the aggregate fully understands the concept, the scam will continue to run perpetually, essentially. Now, we've been building up to this situation, globally speaking, with cell phone towers. So we're getting addicted to these little cell phones, and we're on them all the time. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I find it difficult to get along with friends who ain't even present when they're there with you. They're on their frickin' cell phone. I just wonder, what's the point in being friends with this person? I'm right here. We could be having a conversation, and they're having communications with somebody else who's not even there with us, right? We've become detached so much from each other and from what makes us human that it almost seems like we're not going to be human anymore for much longer, post-human. Like, you'd have to have something in your body in order to deal with the environment that we've created. And that device in your body will be the control mechanism that prevents you from ever escaping or changing that society. Right? And I think in large part, we've already got that in the form of our smartphones, don't we? We've just become detached from society at large. And it's a horrific reality that I think all of us need to really come to terms with if we are to fight against it. My other question on this is, if with so many unknown unknowns with 5G, is it even possible for us to get the adequate information to convince key people of the risks when the research doesn't even yet exist?
Well, I think what you've got to do is to recognize that we're dealing with the same sort of radiation that has caused hazards, as has the previous generation of radio frequency cell phone use, 2G, 3G. This, we know of, is hazardous. And there's no reason to believe that this new generation, which is going to be more widely distributed, is going to be any better. In fact, there's every indication to believe it'll be worse. And because of that, we should be extremely cautious over its introduction. And municipalities should bear in mind that it's their job to look after the health of people, and then not to experiment with people's health.
I have a great difficulty believing that they will do their jobs. I mean, I'll give you an example. This might not be relevant, but it's pretty funny. I went to the airport to pick up my wife's uncle, and they were delayed. All right, not because their plane was delayed, but because everybody was getting stuck in the checkpoints and things like that coming into the country, right? And so I was standing there for an hour, expecting somebody to have come out like 45 minutes ago, wondering what the hell is going on. Guy's cell phone won't work. He can't get out. He can't go buy a new SIM card or anything like that. Complete communication breakdown. So I go to the help desk and I ask them, is it possible to perhaps announce somebody's name across this so that they can know that I'm here waiting for them or anything like that? And they go, no, we don't do that. You know, that would mean everybody would come up and ask it. You mean people would come up to a help desk asking for help? That's the problem you've got? You mean you'd actually have to do some fucking work for a living? You know, helping people that come to a help desk? It's fucking unprecedented. You know, it's just the apathy and the lack of true care among many people who occupy positions of authority is indeed, I believe, one of the greatest impediments to changing the way the world runs. There are people that we all speak to that have positions of authority, who have obligations, who have duties, who shirk them for some reason. I don't know why that is. This is the potential for misuse of 5G and everything else for that matter. I wonder, is there a possibility for international organization, or does this really have to be down to the individuals? Do people actually have to individually take action and go out there and do something about this?
Well, individuals can often generate action by other groups, and this is what we're trying to do. A number of individuals have sent messages to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the World Health Organization Cancer Research Wing, explaining to them why we feel they should reevaluate our radiofrequency radiation. They did so in 2011, and they categorized it as a possible human carcinogen. The evidence since then, in the 8 years since then, has got very much stronger, particularly with these animal studies. And as I've earlier said, we now believe radiofrequency radiation is a group one human carcinogen. And once that information has been widely disseminated, then I believe people will start to listen. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Could you elaborate? What is group one carcinogen? What does that mean?
Group one human carcinogen is the categorization of tobacco, of benzene, of asbestos, the human carcinogens which we know cause increased risk of cancer in humans. And that's what group ones mean. Radiofrequency radiation was categorized 8 years ago as group 2B, a possible human carcinogen. We believe the evidence is now such that you should recategorize it as a group 1 human carcinogen. That being so, I do not believe governments could ignore it. And the industry that has invested so far in 5G would find it has lost a lot of money.
Whoa. Well, if people stand to lose money, isn't that a conflict of interest? Wouldn't there be some people within the population who would purposely ignore these facts specifically because it'll cost them money if the truth comes out?
Yeah, there are a number of people in the population who are doing that. We know that. We hope that their voices can be drowned out by the people, the increasing numbers of people in the know.
Specifically, how was the test actually conducted to find out whether or not it was a carcinogen?
Well, the test in the National Toxicology Program was a prolonged period. They developed special animal cages where they could expose them to the rats and mice to radio frequency radiation. They kept them throughout their life, and then they did studies of these animals and found the cancers in them. This is the way you do animal carcinogenicity studies. In humans, it was done differently. You can't do an experiment like that in humans. But what they have done increasingly is to look at the people who've developed the cancers, which we now believe are associated with radio frequency radiation. We've taken histories of their use of cell phones, found out how much they used them, when they started using this, and compared their utilization of cell phones with controls from the same population, matched as far as possible by age and sex, but who did not use cell phones, who did not develop the cancers, and found the differences. The people who developed the cancers had much greater use of cell phones, used them at a much earlier age, and their exposure was much more prolonged. So these are the people that have to worry, those who've used cell phones for a long time. Anyone hearing me who's used a cell phone for 10 years or more, do everything possible to reduce your exposure. Keep the phone away from your head. Text. Use speaker phones. Use the special hands-free devices to reduce your exposure.
Well, that's how we find out if it's cancer and what have you. But cell phones and social media are addictive. So people are essentially becoming addicted to things that are bad for their health and psychology.
That's right. And I don't know any particular cure for this type of addiction, except stop the exposure, reduce it, do something different.
and yet people are addicted to the exposure. It's a catch-22.
It is a catch-22, but because people were ignorant, they do it. I mean, people became addicted to tobacco, but then gradually we were able to develop mechanisms to wean them off this addiction. And so fewer and fewer people became addicted to tobacco. It is possible to do this.
Well, of course, over long periods of time, the difficulty is, though, of course, as with tobacco, you will have extraordinarily powerful and wealthy lobbyists who will go to government and say, I believe 5G doesn't cause cancer. I believe 5G doesn't turn people into idiots. I believe 5G allows people to have clear thoughts about shit that they're doing. You know, and they'll do it with a straight face. How was it that we actually got the tobacco over the thing? Government got on side, didn't it? And it says, no, it's okay to have 700 different chemicals in the tobacco. That's fine. What we'll do is we'll just keep consistently increasing the price so that the people who really want it simply won't be able to afford it and will, instead of, you know, just buying it, smoking it, and living their lives and eventually dying of cancer and what have you, they will live and struggle, and people who are selling this stuff will be robbed at gunpoint and things like that for the desperate situation. So I'm not so sure that these things actually gel quite so good as an analogy, because we have complicating factors within these things. What kind of public health scare has come out that has truly been eradicated? I don't think there have been any. Fluoride, according to one of the Edmund Burke, one of the PhD, one of the leading health researchers, said that it causes cancer faster than any other chemical. And when I was giving a presentation to the New Zealand Skeptics Society, one of the skeptics asked me, how much fluoride does somebody need to drink until they get cancer? And I said, I don't know. How many cigarettes do you need to smoke before you get cancer? It depends on how many you're doing, over how long a period of time, that kind of thing. And it depends on the individual. What is your biological makeup? That kind of thing. These are the complicating factors that allow people to kind of have that sort of psychological wiggle room. Oh, he doesn't know exactly, therefore I can ignore this completely. You know, I don't know the research, but I'm just going to ignore it because it's inconvenient to me in my lifetime living. It just, cognitive dissonance. Essentially, somebody defined it like this. You have a strong belief. You've built part of the perception of your own personality upon that belief. It's that important to you. Somebody comes along and they tell you that that belief, and according to your psychological makeup, you are inaccurate, inadequate, incompetent. And instead of accepting that information and going, my God, I'm stupid, I'm unhealthy, I'm wrong, I must change, they will say, no, you're stupid, you're wrong, you're the one who has to change. You know, that kind of thing. They project it all back on you. You get this incredible aggression when people have become accustomed to something over a long period of time, but you wish to smash those perceptions in a short period of time. There will be blood, more or less, in an analogistic sense, maybe not literally. So this aggression that people are starting up, isn't it interesting that 5G can cause aggression, and if you're exposed to that right now and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody about how bad it is, they'll get aggressive with you, not just because of the 5G, but because of their own psychological makeup working against them, you know? And so in order to understand the 5G system, we also have to understand how human psychology works, how human biology works, how governments work, how all of these things actually tie together and mesh in one giant ball of snakes, essentially impossible to detangle. And the vast majority of people will never get to the bottom of this rabbit hole, I don't think. And I'm not 100% sure that they need to. You've said it yourself. Here's what you need to know. Avoid it. You know, that kind of thing. However, it's being set up to such an extent that avoiding it will become impossible. That is the danger here. And I think that's why people need to be incredibly motivated, essentially, right now, at this particular moment in time. Like, this is a pivotal moment in history. Because once this is implemented, the ability for us to de-implement it will almost not exist anymore, because the wider public's potential to even think about things with clarity and logic and empathy will not exist anymore. And there's even rumours that there are frequencies embedded in the 5G that are very similar to weaponized crowd control. They have even figured out what frequencies on the brain cause which emotions, and those same frequencies can be sent through the 5G network. You want everybody to feel really depressed and despondent and apathetic? Press that button. You want everybody to be really violent and aggressive and start a riot and what have you to justify any kind of police state measures you want? Press that button. This is the kind of like real freaky shit that jumps out at me. I like to think about worst case scenario, because often when you think about the best case scenario, by the time the worst case shows up, you're not prepared for it. Is there any truth to those weaponizable elements of this? Like, what if 5G wasn't just for convenience? What if it wasn't for by accident? What if it was deliberate?
Well, I think we have to be concerned about that. I don't believe that it is deliberate, but it may be. It may be there are people with these sorts of endeavors. I mean, we know that people were eventually able to largely stop smoking. Not everybody, but a large proportion of people did. And we also know that if people stopped smoking by the age of 40, their risk of lung cancer subsequently was very, very much reduced. And I'm hopeful that if people reduce their exposure as far as possible to radio frequency radiation, their risks of cancer will also be reduced in the future.
Mm.
Necessary experience yet to know that. But we need to act on what we know, which is to reduce exposure to as low as reasonably achievable. This is what we learned to do with X-rays years ago. We had a situation years ago where people would go into shoe shops and could look at their shoes in an X-ray machine. And we had a situation where women were getting X-rays in pregnancy to determine the size of their pelvis. We learned that this was hazardous. We reduced the exposure of pregnant women as far as possible to X-rays. We got rid of the X-ray machines and shoe shops. We can do something like this if we know, if we're aware. It's people being ignorant and shutting their ears and eyes to it, which we have to worry about.
Mm. I think it's so much easier to distract ourselves, isn't it, than deal with really harsh truth. You know, I like movies, I like video games and that kind of thing, and I only realized within the last week how many hours a week I'm actually spending doing that stuff that doesn't actually serve the human interest anymore. You know? I mean, I feel that doing this show is perhaps doing my part, and then I realize that it's not enough. It may never be enough. Not by myself. With the help of others and to help different people around us, we can increase potential in the entire human race, in the aggregate. And I think a spirit of resistance essentially needs to be brought up here, because if we talk about a possible nightmare future, all right, theoretically the surveillance potentials of 5G are unlimited. Okay, so they could track everybody's biometric signature. They could shut down everybody's electronic communications. And bear in mind now, ladies and gentlemen, these are plans that can and will be implemented if we allow that, essentially. A total global surveillance and control grid, more or less, where we can, well, like the Matrix said, turn a human being into a battery, more or less. Oh, you're speaking out against us, are you? Beep, just send one particular frequency of that. LRAD weapons, all right. You know about these. The basically, you get a big crowd of people, and you've got a big transmitter on top of the Humvee, you shoot that transmitter at the crowd, and they feel like their skin's on fire. And apparently that exact same thing is present in low levels in 5G frequency radiation.
Yeah,
so that's true. Global crowd control on demand. You wouldn't even need somebody with a Humvee out there. The control grid would be ubiquitous. Everybody would be under it. It would be irresistible. Do you see that potential?
I see it, and this is why we're having this conversation. Try and persuade people there is a problem here and they need to act.
Can you specifically tell people how that actually works, how those LRAD weapons work and how it relates to 5G? What are the ins, outs, what have yous, the biological, the psychological effects of those things?
Well, we know it happens. I'm not a physicist. I can't tell you much more. I do know the problems in relation to human and animal studies of cancer, and that's my expertise in this respect.
If you're an expert on cancer, what have you seen in cancer in general within during the course of your career? Since you've become aware of it, what has cancer itself in society changed? Are there new types? Is it a bit larger in the aggregate? How do you see it?
Well, there have been some major changes in cancer. One of the most important has been the effect of cessation of smoking in general in the human population, reduction in lung cancer. That was a major public health success. The other thing which we're beginning to see increasing evidence of is people recognizing they need to take more exercise, they need to eat more healthily, fruits and vegetables, reduce exposure to processed meats particularly, and we're beginning to see its effect on reducing colon cancer and potentially breast cancer. And so that we have seen a number of things that have occurred as a result of applying our knowledge in the population. It takes time, but it can be done. And here I think we can do something here as well.
What actually is cancer? How does it form? How does it work? You know, because this is a question that is not asked. People just assume cancer, oh, you've got it. You know, they don't actually understand how that works.
Cancer occurs because cells start dividing without control. They leave the area where they normally stay and break through barriers which are there to prevent that, go into the bloodstream, cause cancer areas elsewhere, which are called metastases. It's a slow process, but it occurs. It occurs. We're likely never to get away from cancer because cancer is a disorder of human growth, of cell division, which is essential to maintain our bodies. Our bodies are constantly renewing itself. So there is a potential always for aberrations to occur. And when we're exposed to substances such as tobacco, the chemicals in tobacco, X-rays, and now we're knowing radio frequency radiation, cancer can occur. So we have to reduce our exposure, use the knowledge we have to cut down the risk to as low as possible.
Well, you said that there's been a noted decrease in the instances of lung cancer and tied this to the smoking awareness and that kind of thing. Have there been marked increases in generalized cancers? I don't know what specific type of cancer gets caused by radio frequency operation, brain tumors, things like that, or what? Has there been massive increases in those?
As yet, fortunately not massive increases, but there have been some increases. In the United Kingdom, a special study published towards the end of last year, they found increase in the frequency of glioblastoma, which is the highly malignant form of brain cancer, which is associated with cell phone use. In the United States, we've seen changes in the occurrence of brain cancer in younger people. So there is a beginning of an indication of changes in the cancer rates, which are the types of cancers which we believe are associated with radio frequency radiation. I hope we can prevent the greater increases occurring, but we have to be vigilant and act on the knowledge we have.
I wonder what the how big those sample groups are and the testers and that kind of thing. Are we able to accurately estimate how big an effect our increasing exposure to electromagnetic wireless radiation actually is? Because I think it was Paul Waddell from safespace.net.nz. He did my office here. We had 30,000 microwatts or milligauss or whatever it was on his machine. I turned off the wireless on my modem, got a wired mouse and keyboard, and turned off the Bluetooth on both of the computers, and we managed and put a couple of filter plugs on the main jack points here. They managed to get us down from 30,000 microwatts to, I think it was 4, which he still wasn't happy about, but it's a hell of a lot better than 30,000. Now, he also defined this for me as that 30,000 was something that was coming out of just the wireless, just the Bluetooth on the computer, just the Bluetooth keyboard, just the Bluetooth mouse. And then you got a second computer with a Bluetooth, Bluetooth mouse, Bluetooth keyboard. So he said that you're not getting bathed with just 30,000 microwatts. You're getting bathed with like 8 versions of it all simultaneously. And these are all around us all the time, and they never were before. All right, so I think he showed me a graph of the amount of frequencies that there are in the air, generally speaking, and what we were using those communications for. And there used to be nothing, and now every single frequency band, more or less, has something going through it, and we're essentially swimming in an electromagnetic soup, full stop. So I wonder what the controls are. I mean, if you do a big study with a large test group and things like that, what kind of controls can you have in order to actually measure the aggregate cancer increases that are caused by electromagnetic radiation and our current usage of them in all of these different frequency bands? You know, that's just such a huge bag of snakes there, isn't it?
It is indeed. You're right, the exposure is increasing, and it's going to be very difficult to find people who have very low exposure. But there are people who take the sort of action. I mean, I bought a computer fairly recently. I could have had the keyboard and the mouse wireless by wireless connection, but I chose to have wired. I mean, people can take action to reduce your exposure, as your colleague did in terms of your office.
No, but what I'm saying is that we don't know how much effect on the global cancer rates these frequencies are really having, because it's almost impossible for us to cancel them out or have real control groups on this because of the general population's ubiquitous exposure to these effects.
Well, that's true. We won't have controllers with no exposure, but we will. There's still a variation in the intensity of exposure to individuals. And when we do studies, we take note of that variation and try and identify the people with the heaviest exposures and those with the least.
How is that quantified, though? I mean, do you see obvious correlations between those who are heavy users, heavy exposed, and cancer, yeah?
Right, that's right.
An obvious correlation, or is there some kind of wiggle room in there?
No. Some of the best studies have shown an obvious association. It's an association. It isn't proof. But when you get these human studies and the animal studies I've talked about, and the studies people have done on cells exposed to radiation, radio frequency radiation, and they've shown the changes that have occurred in cellular metabolism, you know something wrong is occurring. And you are warned, and you are warned to take action to reduce your exposure, as I've said, to as low as reasonably achieved.
What are we currently being treated for cancer with? Because I've had people like Rick Simpson on the show who's been curing people with high-potency THC, CBD, cannabis oil. So somebody would have a cancer in their spine, gone. Somebody got a head tumor, gone. Somebody's got this, blah, 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 gone. Whereas the vast majority of people don't use that. And in fact, cannabis is illegal in most places, to my knowledge. And then we get into this. Let's say there's a cross-on effect. If I were to invest in, say, a 5G company, and I were also to invest in a chemotherapy company, I could profit quite handsomely, couldn't I? You know?
Possibly, but then we're all also talking about what we call the latent period, the period from when exposure begins to when the maximum effect is. And we're talking about people's major parts of people's lifetime. So it's not going to be an immediate effect. We already have signs of the exposure in the past. But if we introduce 5G 20, 30 years down the road, we'll be able to start counting the bodies. And what we're trying to avoid is having to do that and then to count the bodies.
That's, you're talking about global depopulation, if that's the case.
Well, that's potentially so. We may run into that sort of situation unless we're careful.
This is, I'm actually pretty freaked out by that to a degree, which leads me to another question as well. Have you developed any fear of this situation and its potential or whatever? And if so, how have you dealt with that personally?
Personally, I've tried to reduce my exposure, but you know, I'm getting on in years I'm hoping that the exposure that I'm unwittingly encountering will not increase my cancer risk. But who knows? I mean, I'm an elderly man and I've had a full life. I'm trying now, at the end of my life, to try and disseminate as much as the information, knowledge I've got to the benefit of humanity.
Yeah. So if it comes to the benefit of humanity then, and if you're not going to be around with us for too much longer, what is it you would like your legacy to be?
What I'd like people to do is to listen, to reduce their exposure, to listen to the problems, to reduce their exposure as much as possible. Use hands-free devices on their cell phones, text, keep it away from them. Don't give iPads or whatever, or cell phones to young children. Make sure in schools the computers they use are wired, not powered by Wi-Fi. And work with their local community to avoid the introduction of 5G.
Mm. I think we have a great possibility here, right? So the thing is, it's too big, okay? It's too big. It's too big for one man. It's too big for anybody to do this by themselves, is it not? This is a something where all of us are going to have to be boots on the ground involved, one way or another, if this is to stop.
All the knowledgeable people need to be involved, and there are large numbers of knowledgeable people who are working together. You mentioned Johansson a little while ago. There are many others from the Scandinavian countries working on this. There is an international consortium of people working on this now.
Yeah. Ole Johansson, I just remembered his name. Olle Johansson. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out on my YouTube channel if you want to go there and check out that particular interview. That was very good as well. So the basics of this are reduce your frickin' exposure, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, the entire human race within the next 20 to 30 years could be starting to develop cancer at a commensurate rate, and then there might not be a human race, not as we know it. You know, that's that we're talking about big potentials here. And if we're here at the ground floor, it's yet to be implemented, so we've still got a chance. But once it is implemented, would there be any going back?
I don't know. We have to do what we can.
It, That's the thing. It's that important, and we're all fucking distracted. So many things, aren't we? You know, you got people who are worried about the wall. People are worried about the war. People are worried about this, that, and the other, and they're not worried about the wall that's being built up around them and the war that is inside their homes right now that is causing death and destruction amongst us, are we? This is the real crux of the issue, isn't it? We've been detached essentially from real threat and the perception of it because it's an invisible threat. We don't know. I mean, there was this lady in Toronto, I think, like that. She had 8 smart meters on the wall outside of her flat. She couldn't get to sleep. She's having nosebleeds all the time. Had no idea. Been suffering for it for years and things like that without having any idea about it whatsoever, what was causing it. You know, how many people are there out there right now suffering these hugely horrific effects before the cancer even develops? You know, it's a massive, massive thing. But I wonder as well if each and every individual who is aware of this does something, does one small little thing. Is it possible to even convince people who stand to gain from this implement and convince them that, hey, no matter how much they're paying you, it ain't going to buy you a new life, okay? Because once your life is over, it doesn't matter how much money you got. It's over, Rover, okay? That's the freaking threat that we're dealing with. It's essentially militaristic in a nature, because I don't know about you, but I've looked at how militaries and authoritarian governments and things of that nature play the games that they do, and the 5G network fits into almost every single category. Death, destruction, confusion, domination, and surveillance. These are the packages of militarization. This is how you destroy a country and take it over and destroy its people, right? This doesn't seem to me to be some kind of accidental effect of 5G. It seems deliberate. And if there are people who are deliberately capable, you know, of doing such horrific things to the human race in the aggregate, we've got a bigger problem here than just health problems. We've got an extermination problem on our hands, because after all those things are implemented, history shows that those disarmed, highly surveilled populations who are unaware of the enemies in their midst overwhelmingly wind up getting exterminated by their own governments. One of my favorite definitions is the word democide. Democide is when you get exterminated by your democratically elected leaders. All right? Sounds pretty scary, and it was the leading cause of death in the 20th century. Well, unnatural death in the 20th century. I think cancer might have been second. And then, now I'm starting to think, was that accidental as well? I'm not sure. But we're getting off a little off topic here, and I apologize for keeping you so long. I can see that you're tired, and it's about time for dinner, am I right? So, So I'll tell you what, have yourself a just 1 minute of shameless self-promotion to close out the show. Get people to go to your website, ehtrust.org.nz. So, Dr. Anthony Miller, any final words of wisdom for the audience? Go right ahead.
Well, I just want to repeat, be aware, reduce your exposure as much as possible. Keep your cell phone away from you. Use hands-free devices. Don't put it up to your ear. Use texting. And if you're exposed to other devices, do your best to get as far away from them as possible.
All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you know why you can't get a hold of me on my cell phone, because that motherfucker is always on flight mode. All right, Dr. Dr. Anthony Miller from ehtrust.org. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Just to round off the show, I'd like to encourage you all to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, start making a regular donation today. There are PayPal buttons on there that you can drop down. You can give like $1.50 a week, $20 a week, or whatever it is that you feel that the show is worth. Excuse me. Whatever you feel that the show is actually worth to you. That's why I'm saving the advertising and the self-promotion to the final part of the show. You have already received all the benefits you are going to get. Do you believe that this has benefited you to the point that it actually should cost you something to show real gratitude? And I believe that in society that we have at large, gratitude is a failing thing because people have refused to show it as often as perhaps they should. I want to express my gratitude to you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening, for caring, for helping me to continue doing this show in every single way that matters. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you again sometime.
Okay, bye.
Hi folks, I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. The first and only New Zealander in history to be offered a talk radio show on an American network. For nearly 10 years, I've worked hard to help people's voices be heard. Created the largest online archive of protests, public meetings, and long-form interviews with activists in New Zealand history. Revealing the hidden and uncomfortable truths of our time that no corporate media will air. On this show, you will hear directly from the activists, journalists, and fringe researchers about every topic and belief structure imaginable. No taboo topics, no fear of doom, and only one rule: have fun. After all, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point? Thousands of hours of free audio and video content with almost any guest on practically any subject you can imagine is available right now for free. Why? Because people all over the world have been giving me a few dollars a month. Many have been giving $5 a week, others $10 and $20, each according to their means. Some so generous as to donate $100 a month with one specific instruction. Just keep doing what you're doing, Vinny. This show has changed and in some cases literally saved lives. There are people who live today who would have taken their own life had it not been for the good humour and mind-blowing conversations with some of the most brilliant people on the planet to remind us that there is a lighter side to genocide, and the only thing worse than the New World Order is the jokes of Vinny Eastwood.